welcome to the first episode of Friday Night Hockey.
In today's episode, we will be discussing the latest and greatest around the NHL, as well as deep dives into each of our young hockey careers and all of the experiences we've been through so far.
Now, before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor.
Welcome into the first episode of Friday Night Hockey, joined by your host, Andrew Young, and Gavin Wright.
Yes, sir. Let's get into it. What do we got today?
So, along with our main topic today of overall hockey experience that we've shared over our relatively short careers, long for us, there's been a lot going on in the NHL, actually. Some very, very new topics, as well as something that happened about a week ago, maybe not quite. It's still fresh in a lot of people's minds.
It's kind of new. I would say it's kind of new.
So, obviously, referee Tim Peel with the whole Predators situation. A lot going on there to kind of take a look at. Matt Duchene actually said in a interview that Peel was talking to Philip Forsberg when he said what he said. Mm-hmm. If you didn't know or hear, he basically got caught on a hot mic admitting to managing the game, which is where you kind of even out the penalties. There had been a weak call one way. They wanted to give it back to Nashville by giving them a call. Mm-hmm. So, or actually it was going the other way, giving Nashville a penalty.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What people, the average fan, I feel like, is learning through this situation, Gavin, is this type of situation is not uncommon.
Yeah, it really isn't. I honestly, when I saw that, I was like, this is kind of an overreaction, to be honest with you. Like, most of the time, you want to, like, if you make a bad call and you want to own up to it, you got to give it back to the other team, in my opinion.
Well, and I've reffed youth hockey.
Yeah, that's right.
At the teaching seminar, the older refs literally tell you, like, hey, if this team is up, you know, 6-0 in a squirt game and they're really laying into them, you know, you're not going to call a penalty on the team that's down 6-0.
Exactly.
Unless it's something super obvious, you know, like a trip on a breakaway, you kind of got to let stuff go. Yeah. And if the other team that's winning does something kind of aggressive, you might give them a soft call.
Yeah.
And game management, you know, it's one of those things where, like, if you didn't play, but you know a lot about hockey, you're still not going to get it. It's something you really only understand from playing.
Yeah, exactly.
And captains know a ton about this because they're discussing it,
always,
you know.
Yeah, they're always talking with the refs about everything, so.
So I think that was just important to touch on, you know, that this really isn't new. It's been happening. It is going to continue to happen. And it's impossible to call the rule book exactly to the rule book.
Yeah, exactly. Because there's sometimes everything's going to be gray instead of black and white. So
yeah, and I mean, other people have been talking about how when you look at the penalties in games in the past couple weeks, the penalties are like one, maybe two gap,
or three to five
penalties. They're always right there because really, people are going to say it's unfair if there's a larger gap.
Yeah, and that's how you know it's a good game. It was called good because it's even, everything's basically even.
So. When in reality, that's the more fair way because if one team takes, you know, a ton of penalties or is prone to taking more penalties than a team that doesn't take a lot of penalties, then it's really not fair because teams are getting bad calls both directions.
Yeah, exactly.
And so staying with the theme of penalties, fines, ejections.
Oh, gosh.
Connor McDavid, the first star to fall this season to a penalty, really, $5,000 for a high hit or an elbow on Jesperi Kotkaniemi.
Yeah, I didn't see this, so you got to tell me about this. I really...
So, Kotkaniemi, I guess, would be considered a defenseless player in this situation, skating across center ice, and McDavid just cut across the ice. To be honest, from what I saw, looked kind of like intent to injure. Like, he wasn't going over there to make a play because Kotkaniemi was not near the puck.
Yeah.
It was high. I think if this is Tom Wilson. He's probably done for like 15
yeah,
games.
Yeah, exactly.
Any sort of repeat offender, yeah. It's definitely a suspension, no question about
oh, yeah.
it. But, I mean, the NHL already struggles with promoting their stars.
I know.
And
yeah.
when McDavid and the guy we're about to get into are bringing in all this money for your league, you can't afford to suspend them.
You gotta take it easier on them, right?
So then last night, in a gigantic 9-3 Avalanche win, in which Jonas Donskoy had a hat trick in the first period before the halfway point of the game, which, by the way, there was a combined 6 goals between both teams within 3 minutes and 27 seconds, which is the 5th fastest in NHL history.
Holy.
Yeah, so it was 5-1 at that point, Avalanche. And there was a scrum at some point in the game between Connor Garland, Nathan MacKinnon. I know Landeskog was also involved with another Coyote. MacKinnon's known to be very intense.
Oh, yeah.
So intense, it got him another $5,000 fine, like McDavid, and he threw his helmet, or Garland's helmet, at Garland. got a 10-minute misconduct in the game.
Kind of sucks for him. He can't put up points on the board now.
I mean, you know, as a player, intensity.
Yeah.
And, I mean, when you're talking about that, how important is that to have good intensity when you're out there?
Oh, it's super important. You gotta be focused 24/7. I mean, it gives you an extra edge, too, if you're into it, you know? So, mm-hmm. I mean, but you got to be careful. I mean, as much as it's funny, throwing a bucky at a kid, I mean, come on. You got to be like, come on. You can't do that, right? So.
Yeah, there's a line for sure. And one other big thing last night before we get into our main topic here, the Sabres.
Finally.
Who I'm pretty sure up until yesterday had won maybe 6 games this year.
It was, yeah, so I think you're right. I think it was 6.
Yeah,
it's
18
bad.
Losses in a row, tying the NHL record for the longest streak in the cap era.
Jeez.
Beat the Flyers 6-1 last night.
I love how it's like a big win too, like 6-1,
yeah,
like out of nowhere.
Yeah, they didn't squeeze one out. They thoroughly beat down the Flyers. They got Elliott pulled early
Jeez.
On too. And speaking of those last 2 goals in that game, Brandon Montour, fastest consecutive shorthanded goals by a defenseman in NHL history, 37 seconds apart. And that's actually the 12th fastest all time.
Wow.
So that's kind of unique.
Yeah, I know. I didn't even know that
especially
one.
Especially for breaking your 18
your losing
streak. Yeah. And a big reason the Flyers are struggling, losing to the worst team in the NHL, in the Sabres, Carter Hart scratched for 2 games. Supposed to be the next Carey Price, just come in and dominate, which
he
was good, you know,
yeah.
up until recently. And Coach Alain Vigneault had this to say, and I quote, "He needs to work on his game. He needs to work harder. He needs to work better."
It sounds like an attitude thing. Like he just thinks like it's going to be handed to him, but it's like not, you know what I mean?
And I was thinking, you know, as a goalie, it almost sounds like, you know, there's a big thing in goaltending, you got to be confident, but you can't be cocky. And
exactly, yeah.
I feel like, you know, Carter Hart came in, and maybe it was some...
Almost like cocky.
Beginner's luck.
Yeah,
he had a lot
exactly.
of success early,
mm-hmm.
made the playoffs, was good in the playoffs.
Exactly.
And I feel like maybe some of that turned into, you know,
yeah.
I'm good, and kind of a fixed mindset that he
exactly.
had
yeah.
nothing to work on. So when the head coach is coming out and saying something like that, that's a very strong statement.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, exactly.
Hopefully Carter Hart can pull it together and get back to his form here.
I know. I'd hate to see him fall off so quickly. I think
he's
got potential.
And
so.
The Flyers, you know, they play Shane Gostisbehere on waivers. He cleared, but they got to figure it out over there. I mean, that's not working too well.
I mean, they have Gritty, so what's the...
I guess, yeah, there you go. Gritty, you know, they're not doing too
He'll
well.
He'll bring them back together.
The fans
I have Gritty. Faith in Gritty, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, did you see the video of, so I think it was after the Sabres' 16th loss, You have Jack Eichel walking to the locker room. He's like walking down. He takes a stick and snaps it like right in half, like right in front of everybody on video.
Yeah,
See it. Like,
that
I was like,
demonstrates how their season's
ooh.
Been going pretty perfectly. Sums it up.
Yeah.
So now we'll get into our main topic of this podcast for today, and that is playing experience. And, you know, Gavin and I have had different paths to where we are now.
Yeah.
And we're still in different places, even though we're kind of ending up in a similar spot.
You could say that. I mean, kind of, sort of.
In a sense, and we met along the way.
Yeah.
But I guess I'll start.
Yeah, take it away.
I'm the goalie, so my path is always going to be
backwards
different.
Goalie. Backwards
yeah,
goalie.
Backwards, full right. So yeah. I'm always going to be a little different than a player because goalies' paths, you know, you look at guys coming into the league, and we were just talking about Carter Hart.
Mm-hmm.
That's a rarity to come in that young.
Yeah, yeah.
And you see guys start to take over when they're 25, 26 years old, like Elvis Merzlikins last year.
Exactly.
When you've got McDavid and all these other guys, Matthews, starting when they're 18, 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So I started playing house league. I was not a full-time goalie until second year squirt.
That's right, yeah, I remember.
And as a mite, I never played full ice hockey. I played cross ice mini games in the, you know, three zones of the ice.
Yeah.
So when I got to travel, and all you guys have been playing full ice hockey for, you know, 4 years already, I was like, what was I doing? I wasn't even playing real hockey this whole time.
Yeah, I know, right?
So
it's totally different.
Yeah, that was, like, kind of a big change first coming in, and obviously the change in level. So I went from house league. I made a silver double A team my first year at the Northwest Chargers.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And that was a great experience just to break into the travel scene. And, you know, I couldn't exactly tell you, like, how it went. I don't totally remember, but... you know, that's where you meet the coaches with the connections, and, you know, it's not just a dad coaching the team. You have a real goalie coach consistently. So, yeah, then I played another year there, which is where I met Gavin. On a gold AA team.
Actually, elite. We were elite.
We made the elite division.
We tore it up that year.
we struggled a little, but...
Yeah.
You know, again, great experience, especially at a young age, you know, only a peewee to experience something like that. It just gives you an idea for the different levels that there are. That gold elite to gold to silver, house league, bronze, like they're all so different. There's that big
of
a gap.
Even though it's, it doesn't seem like that big of a gap, but it is. There's a big difference between skills.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where my career takes a very large change in direction from Gavin's. So as you know, and we might get into this another time, youth hockey is filled with politics, and there are people trying to clean it up, like in Canada, John Tavares and I think Sam Gagne did something with the Toronto AAA team, trying to get the politics out of it.
It's, you know, I'm going to be real with you. Like, honestly, in America, we think we have a bad, but Canada's a whole different ballgame. I'm going to be real with you there.
And that's something you can get into more because you've played there in the offseason.
I have.
But even here, Illinois is known as one of the worst political hockey states in the country. And, I mean, I went from the one of the gold elite goalies to the bronze team. So this was, you know, pretty big drop for me. I've just played, you know, the two levels above that at the double A level. And, you know, that was a big hit. Obviously, I'm going into my first Bantam year. You know, mental game is not strong at all. So that's a big change and something I really had to adjust to, but it was also good. You know, you got to take the positive out of the situation, and it woke me up. I became a much harder worker.
Yeah.
I didn't expect things to be handed to me because of that. You know, I'm a very undersized goalie, so I learned even more I needed to work harder because
exactly.
I had so much stacked against me. And
How tall were you at the time?
first year bantam, I definitely wasn't 5 feet,
Yeah, I was gonna say you were definitely
which
under 5 feet, right?
is
Which,
severely undersized because my
yeah.
second year bantam, I maybe got to 5 feet.
Yeah, you were an extreme disadvantage.
Yeah. However, I knew I was in the wrong place because the next year I made another Gold Elite team at a different organization, the Highland Park Falcons.
Oh, Falcons.
Always got a good team at every level, basically own Central States. I mean they have a team at every age group.
Yeah, they do. They do. Yeah, you're 100% right on that one there.
One of the few teams to have that as well, a team at
Yeah.
every age group.
It's impressive.
And a competitive team normally as well for all those.
Yep, you're 100% right there.
And I immediately set my goals on making their prestigious 04 Central States team, which was basically a triple A team.
Yeah, Central State's really all the kids that can play AAA if they wanted to. They're good enough.
Yeah, so that gold season, I had a pretty decent year, enough to where when
You did have a good year. I
the
remember
04
that.
Central States team went through a lot of change. A lot of kids went to
AAA
AAA
or high
teams.
school.
Yeah, a
Or high
couple of kids
school.
went to high school. A lot of AAA,
Yeah.
and it opened up a goalie spot.
That's right. That's
And
right.
ended up making the team, beat out two other guys that were both bigger than me. So any undersized players listening, you can still get it done. You just have to be double, triple, quadruple as hard a worker as
You just
anyone
gotta
else on the
want it. You
ice.
just gotta want it, bottom line.
Yeah, and I wanted it. And again, kind of a tough year for me. I struggled.
Yeah.
Didn't get to play a ton because the other kid has been there so long and was severely outplaying me as well. I think he led the league in almost every goaltending stat.
Yeah, except I don't know if my goalies were comparable or not, right?
Probably not. Your
Maybe.
starter was close,
Yeah,
but I
yeah.
mean, our guy was above and beyond the best goalie in the league.
Yeah.
Statistically, physically as well. So didn't get to play a whole lot, and then we finished the year, and we didn't really go anywhere in playoffs or anything. But then COVID hit.
Oof, jeez.
Yeah, that changed some things.
Worst.
So, we obviously didn't know if we were gonna have a season the next year, so our tryouts were up in the air, and I tried out for the team. And I was pretty much told by the head coach I had a spot. He took some other kid in the tryout skates and kind of told him go find something else. It was gonna be me and the other kid again for the
Yeah.
previous season. And then COVID really hit me and sent a goalie who had been playing out of state back home. And he's got AAA experience, Central States experience.
Oh, yeah.
He ends up taking my spot after coming to two skates, one skate and the tryout.
Ugh.
So there goes your, that's Illinois politics for you. Loyalty is not doesn't mean a whole lot
No, it doesn't.
unless your parents are loyal as well, and not to say mine aren't, they're very dedicated, but yeah, politics hit you like a truck. So I end up going to the high school team BGHW, combined three schools, and there I had a guaranteed spot on varsity. Not that I'm, proud to get a guaranteed spot because you don't have to work for that, but
Well, I don't know. So, I mean, some kids have to work for that. It depends. I
I
mean.
suppose. So, yeah, I just kind of put my head down, knew I was just going to work the whole year. The games don't mean anything. And this
They
year,
really didn't.
I
This
probably,
special the COVID year, man,
yeah.
like
And
nothing
this
matters.
season, I grew more mentally than I think I ever had because I realized how much pressure I was putting on myself in games that didn't even matter,
Yeah.
to the point where I let in soft goals because I was just all over myself for everything and trying to fix everything at once. And this year I worked more with my goalie coach than I ever had. I was working with him once a week and I've never done that before. And it changed my game completely. Like, I'm a totally different goalie now than I was at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, that's true.
In pretty much every way. And obviously still plenty of things to work on, but huge year mentally, because I just kind of figured out like how not to put pressure on yourself, how to see every situation as a positive and not focus so much on what you're doing wrong, but there's a good takeaway from everything. And if anyone's asking or wondering the biggest help for that, there's a guy by the name of Tony Robbins. He's a basically a motivational speaker, very famous for it too. And I would I'd literally listen to him before games. And, you know, people are listening to their rap music now, or they're just swearing the whole time, and it's
I'm guilty for that. I can't really can't really vouch for
that. It's not exactly moving music, and I realized it was kind of putting me down. Like, it was getting me, you know, angry for the game, like, whereas I needed to be in a looser, positive state of mind. And this guy, Tony Robbins, was awesome for that. So if any of you are really struggling with the mental side of the game, I recommend him. Just listening to him when you can. He's got a podcast. He's got videos on YouTube. Just anything. Very positive guy. So that kind of brings me to present day. I don't really know what my plans are for this season. We'll kind of see what's to come. But right now we're in the middle of the hard off-season work. And
it's the grind.
Yeah, it's grind.
Everybody
time.
Knows the grind.
Yeah, and now I'll let Gavin kind of take it away with his experiences, where he's gone and what he's been through.
Well, before I start, I want to talk about the whole motivational speech thing. I actually started doing that before games too. You know, have you ever heard the motivational speech where it's like the how bad you want it, where it takes you out to the beach and you like. Put you underwater, and then he's like, if you want to like breathe or whatever, if you want to win as much as you want to breathe, like that's when you know. So I listened to that before every game. That kind of got me to like, well, you know,
and then also
how bad do I want it, right?
That's also good because you had a consistent pregame thing you're hearing. You know what's going on at certain times. You give yourself cues, basically.
Yeah.
And then you're prepared for the game because everything's the same every time.
Yeah, I'm a big ritual guy before games. Like, I got to make sure my stick's taped at the exact time. I'm doing the exact same stretches, all that stuff. I'm, you know, all that. But anyways, I will get back. I'll get into what I was, my whole story. So, you know, my dad wanted me to get into hockey. I think it was like 4. I really didn't like it. So they had to like drag me to practice every day. I hated it so much.
I was the same way.
Yeah. And then it finally got to the point when they were putting me in this for like, had to have been 2 years right now. And they're like, do you even want to play? And I was like, yeah, of course I want to play. I want to go far. And then I like kind of wanted to. Like, I told myself that. I was like, maybe I'm good enough. So then, and this was still playing like house league. Like, I was just starting. But then I got called up to play travel hockey. One of the coaches for obviously the team we played for, me and Andrew, the Chargers, wanted me. I was like, well, sure, why not play at a better team? I mean, nothing wrong with that. So I played there for about, what, from my second year, my year, to first year Bantam, right?
And where were you playing before that?
Renegades, right?
Oh,
house
okay.
League. So,
there.
Yeah, I feel like that's where everyone starts around here, not in our area, like the suburbs.
It's a great starting program.
Yeah, they are really good. Even I've coached there. I have. So, anyways, I've always played on like the topper teams. I'm not gonna like lie to you guys.
You were always. I mean, you worked very hard.
Yeah.
But you were also naturally skilled.
I had the talent. Yeah. And I always would play up with the older kids, the 03, since I'm an 04. So I did that, and you know, I think what year was it? I think it was my second year squirt year. I tried out for a Central States team. I think it was the Ice Dogs. It was my second year squirt year. And I tried out for the Ice Dogs Central States team because I wanted to go up, obviously, right? Got cut from them. That was a big hit. Kind of was like, shoot, well, maybe I'm really not as good as I really think I am. But I decided to stay with the Chargers. I'm like, you know what? I think this is a learning lesson. I'll just keep getting better. After that, where did I go?
Well, was that you getting cut? Was that really what started you to, you know, shoot pucks every day, you know, start working out, like kind of really started to get you going?
You know, that was, well, how old was I? Second year squirt, that's like, what? 11. So, I mean, I kind of always did that. I kind of always pushed by my parents to always put in that extra work. Shout out to them, obviously. But I feel like I've always wanted to go the extra mile for everything. And I think every single roadblock just like that has pushed me to do even more. Then I think, let me think. First year Pee Wee, tryout for AAA. And I, tryout for AAA, got cut, obviously. It was just it's a different skill level. I definitely wasn't there yet. But I mean, I could have been, like, I could have been on the team and I could have played, but I wasn't really there, like, with the experience, like all the other kids had. So that kind of sucked for me. I really thought I could have been there, but it wasn't meant for me, and that's fine. So then one day in spring, my mom comes up to me. She's like, what do you think about going to Canada? I was like, Canada? Why would we go to Canada? And she's like, well, there's a tournament, and they're just looking for players. And I was like, well, why not? I mean, what's wrong with that? You got a team looking for players, might as well.
Free experience.
So that was that was the, like, I think, yeah, right when I got cut, I think, from AAA. So went up to there, and that was a totally new experience. Kids were gross, obviously. It's Canada. But I was honestly doing pretty well. I put up goals. I played forward when I was supposed to be playing D. Yeah, sorry, I forgot to mention that. I started D all the time. But then they moved me up to forward because...
That was our year at Pee Wee's, kind of, right?
Yeah, but that was the year before I played with you. This was the year before I played with you. I got moved up to forward and really liked it. I put up goals. I was good. And we did really well in the tournament, so that was cool. I met a lot of really cool people. I'm still friends with a lot of them. It's like 7 years ago. Jeez. I feel old telling that. Anyway, so that's kind of like took me to my next point where I would start to go up to Canada and train for the entire summer. Keep in mind, I was like in fifth grade. Like, that's pretty big for a fifth grader to go up to.
Very committed.
Yeah, to go live in Canada for the summer and just do hockey, which was, you know, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. I would not trade it for anything. I think that was one of my favorite experiences in hockey by far.
Great experience, too.
Yeah, and the amount of people I've met and the people that probably are going to go pro, too many, I swear.
Long list.
Yeah, it's a long, long list. But I think if I didn't go there, I would not be the player that I am now. It really changed me mentally and physically, obviously, because I got a ton better. My skating, shooting, stick handling, you name it. I became a different player. I kind of got, like, not like an ego, but like confidence.
Confidence
more.
Boost,
confidence boost. And I was able to play more. And so that led me into the year I played with you. So I stayed double A. And I was like, you know what? I'm done. I'm tired of playing forward. I mean, sorry, defense. I'm going to play forward because I know I'm good at it. I have the skill. I'm able to do it. And it's what I want. So I did that. I tore it up. I was good. AY can attest for that. I was good playing forward first year. So that happened. And then I think after that year, I tried out for AAA again. This year, I knew I deserved it, should be on it, got cut. So I went back, played one more year double A. That was playing up with O3s again. And I was good. I got moved back to D. I had a good starting season. Then my final season, there was a lot of politics. I won't get into it because it's not worth it. But I ended up getting benched a lot. When I shouldn't have been. I was our best D, and I was getting benched for reasons that shouldn't have been reasons. So that was a really big confidence hit, I feel like. It really hurt me mentally. But I decided to take it, and I was like, you know what? It is what it is, and let's just move on. So that happened. So that was leading into, so now I'm in, let's see, that was my eighth grade year. So when
So
I was an eight, when
Bantos.
I was an eighth grader, so first year Bantam, right? And then, so I decided to, and that was a point where I was like, you know what? I'm done playing double A. I'm going to either go play high school or I'm going to find some magically other good team. Like I was like, I was at that point where I was kind of like mad at hockey, to be honest with you, because I was so upset about not playing when I should have been playing. And so I was kind of like, whatever happens, happens. Like, I really don't care at this point.
And that is kind of what got us both out of Chargers. Not to, take shots at Chargers specifically, because it happens everywhere. But a big issue with youth hockey, I feel, is you can't stay anywhere too long. Unless you're like a favorite there and you've been there from the start.
It's not healthy, in my
You,
opinion.
the, that agreement gets kind of spoiled and old, and that was really kind of what bumped us both out of Chargers. And again, not to shoot them down specifically, but that relationship anywhere doesn't last. And
Yeah.
you see that in AAA. I mean, kids
Well,
move
you
teams every
AAA,
year.
it's more you're always bouncing around. It's keeping you looked at, new people always talking to. I think it's good. But back to what I was saying. So yeah, I was like, I'm done with double A. I can't do it. So it's either I'm playing high school, which I was gonna play JV, which is a total downgrade from what the competition I was playing at. Or I was just going to play somewhere better. So then, I had a couple coaches helping me out here and there. So then I got offered to play Central States, which technically, I mean, it's still double A, but I mean, I
It's
call it,
elite level.
yeah, I call it double A and a half, where it's, I mean, you're good enough to play triple A, but you're not playing triple A. So that's, it's kind of what it is. I
And in
mean,
tournaments, the a lot of the Central States
they play the
teams,
triple A teams
and
and they do beat them.
yeah, they
So
compete very well with
yeah, so
triple A.
it's, I mean, we can call it, we'll just call it double A and a half. It's a step up from double A,
For
really.
sure.
But so, you know, I got an offer to play there and I was like, heck yeah. I mean, I love, and meeting all the boys, like, there was one of the first times I felt like I had a really good team. I literally hung out with them like 24/7, more than I hung out with school friends. That was like all I was doing. Like, they were like my family and it was pretty cool. Stayed at the Bulldogs for 2 years. Let's see. I don't think I did anything besides that. I didn't try out for any other teams. Yeah, just stayed at Bulldogs. And then, so that was my U15 year. It was my second year at Bulldogs. It was kind of a rough year. I mean, I carried the league. I think I led the league in points, or somewhere. It was a top. I think top in assists. And then I was like top five in.
Carried the whole league. You're scoring for other
Yeah,
teams too.
sorry. Yeah, but led the league, my bad. But so I had a good season. I mean, I wasn't personally, I don't think I was that happy with it, but I did have a good season on the stat sheet, so I guess that's good. And then that brought me to the COVID whatever bogusness, and Bulldogs, our team went under because everybody either went to high school or I guess they moved teams.
Couple
Everybody
of kids switched.
majority of our team went to high school. So that's kind of why we were going under. So I was planning on playing high school for fun. I wasn't really intending to go.
But where were you skating off season?
I'll get to that. So I signed up for high school and I signed up for Leafs, which is another Central States club. They asked me to skate with them, so I was like, sure, mommy. Why not? They are a strong team as well, just like the Falcons. So I was like, why not? And then that didn't happen for spring because COVID, obviously. And then I got an offer to go play at AAA in Connecticut, which was a big shocker because, I mean, I've been, what, cut from AAA a lot of times, handful of times, let's be real here. So, hearing that from a scout was really like, oh, like, okay, you want me to move out there? Like, okay, that's new. So I decided, I mean, it was a hard decision, but I decided, I was like, you know what? Let's just do it. I mean, what's there to lose, right? I mean, might as well do it because I know if I don't, then I'm gonna just be eating myself up that I never took an opportunity to play it at a high level. So I played for the Connecticut Chiefs. If you don't know, they're not like a top team. I'm gonna be real with you. They're a mediocre AAA team, but they play in the AYHL, which is, in my opinion, the best league in AAA in the country. Right next to the NAPL, but I think it's the better. So that was interesting. It was fun. We play a lot of good teams. Team Maryland, South Kent Selects, as you know, North Jersey Avs, all those good teams. I mean, the list goes on. So that was a good year. Also got called up to play juniors a couple games, which was an experience. I mean, it's just a different lifestyle, juniors compared to youth hockey, man.
And what level junior was it?
Tier 3, EHL. I mean, so it wasn't like it was some USHL, like I was like a prospect or anything.
And
But
even for that, though, I know you're probably about to get into it, but a team like that, tier three, how big of a skill gap was that from AAA?
I'm gonna be real with you. If you are a decent AAA player, it's honestly like it's too easy. You know what? Like I'm gonna be real with you. It's not that much of a skill gap. It's more the same. It's a lot more hitting, in my opinion. But besides that, it's pretty similar. I think when it starts getting really like you're moving up is when you get up to NA, null. Tier 2 and then USHL obviously, which is tier 1. But I think it also depends on the league you're playing in as well and who you're playing. Because definitely some teams are better than others.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me. But I think that it's not too much of a skill difference. You're still playing competitive hockey,
Yeah,
in
for
my
sure.
opinion. So it's not too much. But it's a different experience. They treat it more as a job instead of you're playing. It becomes your career that you're signing up for. So, but that brings me to the end of the season. So now I'm coming home for my senior year. I'm gonna play high school, St. Vider. We're gonna tear it up. You already know. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. I've played at every single level you can even probably think of, right? I mean,
Close to it.
juniors, AAA, AA, Central States,
House
House
League.
League, Single A. I mean, jeez.
So, I guess I'll ask you with all that experience, even more than I'd say I've played at quite a few levels as well, but I mean, you've been
Yeah.
everywhere. A question that gets asked a lot, especially in the goalie world, but in other worlds as well, especially when you're an impact player like yourself,
Yeah.
would you rather go to a good team and just kind of be another productive player on that team?
Yeah.
You know, like in AAA, I don't know exactly what your team was built like, but say you're going to a team, you might be on the second line, you might be on the first line, you'll produce. Maybe you're not a point per game, maybe you are. Or would you rather be on a struggling team and make that team better? Maybe you're not, you know, putting them in first place in the league, but you're taking a bottom team and putting them in the middle of the league. What, or let me put that question to this. Which do you think would help you get more notice from scouts?
You know what? I think are you saying like if let's say I'm on like a top team and I'm in what line would I be? It kind of matters what line I am.
I mean,
Am I
maybe
like second line, first line, or am
second,
I?
first, somewhere in there, maybe you move up and down.
You know, if you want to be noticed, I hate to say it, but you want to be on that top team. But it matters if you're playing. I would always take if you're playing more, do what if you're playing more because the bottom line is you're not going to be happy sitting on the bench, first off. Second off, nobody's going to look at you if you're not on the ice 24/7. You got to be doing something. But you should always want to get to a better team. I mean, you got to put your foot in the door, of course, especially with AAA. You always got to put your foot in the door. That gets you everywhere. Especially I even with what I see, I mean, I know I'm going back down, but I can scope out anywhere I want to play, theoretically, not anywhere, but a lot more teams are opened up to me now that I have that experience. So you always want to get your foot in the door first and then work your way up. And that's my philosophy on it. And I'm going to tell you, it's so hard to get your foot in the door, but once you do it, it's so easier, so much easier.
Well, and you said through your kind of storyline there, you got cut how many times? Four? Three or four?
I've been cut so many times, man. Probably like
Yeah.
four.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
that's the hard work pays off. You got to be relentless.
Yeah.
And for goalies, along that same line, it's a little different being on a good team. It's great if you can make a good team,
For
you know, look
goalies, it's so
great.
much different. You want to be on a bad team because then it shows, and then it makes you look so much better.
So I have the opinion of Andrei Vasilevskiy that he's one of the best goalies in the league. He can't be the best though,
Yeah.
because you know, I'm an Avalanche fan, but Tampa's the best team in the league.
Oh, yeah.
I'd even argue Vegas might be better than Colorado. They're far more consistent.
Yeah.
And
Vegas is very strong.
I get it. Vasilevskiy makes a great team greater. But, you know, people say, oh, they give up this many shots, they give up these many chances according to these analytics.
Yeah.
But either way, it's like if you get a 2-on-1, you know, advanced analytics say it's a 2-on-1. But
Exactly.
how did the defenseman handle that?
Yeah.
What kind of shot did the guy get off? Where did he shoot it from? So I feel like
It's the little
it's.
things that people forget.
Yeah, and I feel like at the youth level, it's fine if you're on a really good team. You might get looks, you know, as that, but they're going to be looking at the guys, you know, at really young levels, the guy scoring a hat trick every game, then
It
the
met,
goalie
yeah.
getting a shutout because his team's scoring 9 goals. So I would almost say take that lower level team if you're a goalie, and it's going to be a struggle. It's going to be a mental struggle. Like
It's gonna be a grind.
this year, I played for a high school team that really struggled. And I'm gonna be straight with you. I know I'm a pretty decent goalie,
Yeah.
considering what I have up against me with my
No,
size
you
and
no,
whatever.
100% you are. You're a good
And
goalie.
we played multiple teams that were just better than us, and I let in 5 or 6 goals, but I had 50 or more shots.
Yeah.
And some scout looking at a goalie that has, you know, maybe 15 shots a game and gets shutouts and allows 1, maybe 2 goals versus the kid who sees 55 shots and lets in 5. You know, I'm telling you right now, if I'm the goalie scout, I think the five goals on 50 shots is far more impressive than 1 goal on 15,
Yeah, oh yeah, easily.
because you're getting pounded. So even if they're not the highest quality shots, you're exhausted. You've been seeing shots the entire game. We played a high school that we had 2 shots the entire game, and they had 64. 6-0
Jeez.
loss,
My
and
gosh.
I mean, it wasn't even close. You know, I don't mean to build myself up and brag, but I was by far the best player on the ice. I let in 6 goals, and
6 goals on 60 shots is something else,
I
man.
mean, that's there,
Jeez.
and I don't think any of them scored twice. I think it was 6 different goal scorers.
But you gotta
So
think, like some most how many goals were like first or second rebounds?
not many, I'm gonna be honest, because there were a couple that were banged in, but they were like passing plays. You know, there was one I remember is a tic-tac-toe, and like the same guy touched the puck 3 times.
You can't do anything about those.
None of them were soft goals. And the
Yeah.
reason I'm reluctant to admit to, you know, rebound goals is because you need to control the first shot as a
Yeah.
goalie. That's
Oh
the
yeah.
most important
Oh yeah.
thing. It's blocker side, it's gotta be in the corner. It's pad save or stick save, gotta be in the corner.
Yep.
And if you're letting up bad rebounds and getting scored on it, that's on you.
Yeah.
So, you know, anyway, that I if you're younger, you're not sure what to do, I'd say take the tougher road of the more difficult team and stand on your head, because
Yeah, because then you'll show out. Show, yeah, you'll shine if that makes
you'll
sense.
stand much further
Yeah,
apart
stand
from
out. There we go. That's the word for
yeah.
it.
Yeah. So,
Let me get into one thing though. I think the problem, which I sure we'll definitely cover in another topic because there's so much to get into it. And, like, we obviously can't get into it now. But the problem with a lot of hockey is I think a lot of coaches and scouts only look at the stats and they don't look at the player. Because I can even attest for it. I mean, I used to not really put up many points. I was more of a skill guy, get the pucks out of the zone and set up everything so they can score. Then I changed to becoming the guy that does all the work and scores and puts the apples up, like all that stuff. But I never really got the looks until I put up points, you know what I mean? And was shown on the stat sheet like 24/7. But I also had to be that guy that went up to the ref and was like, "Hey, like that was me who did that. Like put me on the stat sheet." Which, you know, I feel like a lot of people make fun of, but everybody does it. Like you have like especially with kids I played with like in Canada and stuff, like that's what you do. Like you go up to the ref when you score and you're like, "That was me."
Well, and having been a youth ref, you know, I ref much younger kids. I wasn't reffing 16-year-olds, 15, but there were times where you don't catch that second assist
Exactly. That's why you got to
because
make sure it's crucial you tell them that.
when there's a pass and it, you know, another guy gets it, you're watching the game. You're not, it's hard to explain,
No,
but
I get it. 'Cause like, how are you supposed to like remember? Okay, that specific person passed at that specific time
well,
to
and you're
him.
giving out numbers, so if you don't see, if you're on the opposite side of the ice, a kid passes it
Yeah.
to number 21, and then he passes it to number 2,
Yeah.
you don't see that it was number
87,
19,
yeah.
87 who passed it on the other side. You don't know
Yeah.
that, and then they're all a bunch of, you know, tiny hockey players wearing the same
Oh yeah.
uniform,
Oh yeah, I know what you mean.
skating the same way, and you can't tell. So you really do have to, you know, get out there and just say, "Hey, I made that secondary
Yeah, you have
assist."
to be that guy. Which and that's I mean, we'll definitely get into that in another episode, but I just feel like there's such a better way to develop kids and look for better kids than how many points they're putting up. Because it really like that's not the game. Because when you think about it, like there's only a small percentage that that game makes up, and the other however percentage there is doesn't even get a chance, you know what I mean? So I feel like that's something that needs to definitely be discussed. But and what's sad is it's right at this moment, stats are all that matters. Stats are really all that matters.
And it really sucks because, I mean, if you watch an NHL game, I could almost guarantee somewhere in a broadcast they'll say something about a guy who, even when he's not on the score sheet, he's making an impact. And a guy who he's putting up the points this year, Mark Stone, he is the embodiment of a two-way player. Blocks passes, is strong defensive, more than strong defensively. He's a third defenseman in the defensive zone.
Yeah,
the
which is
minute you
crucial.
get in the neutral zone, offensive zone, he's also a very skilled forward. And he's a guy where if he's not putting up points, he's an impact player still. And sadly, in youth hockey, that gets overlooked a
It
lot.
is. It is overlooked,
They
yeah.
just want all of the guys who are either going to score 2 goals or put up three
It's who's going to get
points.
them the win at the end of the day. Not who's going to get better, it's who's
And
going to win.
Central States is it's CSDHL, Central States Development Hockey
Yeah.
League, but I'm going to be honest with you, those coaches care about winning. They want their jobs. They're paid
Yeah.
coaches, and they get paid to win games, win state
Yeah.
championships, win Central States championships. And, you know, I won't name names, you know, but I know
Yeah,
of
we're
a
not going to
coach
name any.
who left an organization because he wanted to help kids grow, and he
Yeah.
didn't want to be so focused on winning. And, you know, that's part of why Canada is so much more successful, and Europe as well. If you look at Sweden,
Yeah,
Finland,
yeah.
they're so much better with player development and have so many more people in the NHL and AHL because
Because of that,
they, yeah,
they're
they
looking
want
to develop the kids.
the, in the you know, for goalies, I mentioned earlier that they developed more slowly.
Yep.
There's a reason why Elvis Merzlikins was a 25-year-old rookie.
Yeah.
And, you know, that Yaroslav Askarov, who was drafted by the Predators this year, he's not coming over for a while. I mean,
No. No, you're right.
And I'd bet money on that because, one, the Predators have UC Saros, who, by the way, another example of a late bloomer, is like 26 and just now is getting the starting role.
You know what's funny about, speaking of the late bloomer stuff, you see now with a lot of juniors kids, if you really take the juniors route and you go, which really, unless you're like this all-star player on the NTDP, all that stuff, you really got to take the whole juniors route and age out of juniors. And then, because most of the time, your typical scholarshiped NCAA player is like 21.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's the road you got to take. You got to keep training consistently until you get there.
Well,
it's a grind.
I got to be honest. I feel like juniors, unless you go USHL, NHL, where you can play college after.
Yes.
Major junior is very limiting to me.
It is. No, you're 100% right. It is.
You go there banking on getting drafted, and if you don't, you're kind of screwed. Because...
Yeah. It's kind of like rolling the dice.
You're going there just expecting that you'll get drafted at some point because you're playing major junior. You look at a Canadian kid, Cale Makar.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't play major junior. He played for UMass Amherst, won a state championship, and then went to the NHL playoffs. And he went, granted, he didn't graduate, you know, he went early, but that gave him extra development time that if you go to major junior, just simply do not have.
Yeah.
And another Avalanche defenseman, Bowen Byram, played major junior, and now here he is in the NHL, and none of his offense has transferred at all. Granted, he's been great defensively, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But he's missing development years that would help him get that offense.
It's
moved.
Important. Personally, I feel like you want to be there to get that extra edge, because if you're thrown into a league that the kids have been in for like how many years, like a typical like career for some people was like what, 10 years, 15? Like that's a lot of time that they have on you. Like 10 years, a decade's a lot of time advantage.
Mm-hmm. And if you look at the European model. You know, I can't exactly say for, like, Russia, who pushes a lot of great players.
Yeah.
But Sweden and Finland, you know, they have, like, U20.
Yeah.
For youth hockey.
Yeah.
That's youth hockey still.
Yep, I know.
So that's where the U.S. and Canada are just – I mean, Canada is pushing – you know, granted, their system is very stacked, so that's part of why
– Yeah, they have a more developed system.
I mean, part of why they push so many people through major junior and they make the NHL, one, I mean, let's be honest, nobody's, you know, going to lie that because they're Canadian, they get a bit of a boost. However,
yes.
There's more AAA teams there, and
tons
there's more of a push to get them to
junior more opportunities.
And develop them.
There's more opportunities.
So when you're 16, you go to junior in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you're 16 here, oh, I might play high school, I might play AAA.
Everything's on the fence.
Maybe the USHL, I don't know.
Yeah.
And even then, if you play USHL, you're not guaranteed a college spot. So the US's program really just kind of like, it stonewalls you because maybe you're good enough to play junior, but if you're not, you can't.
Yeah.
So, like, it's a discussion I've thought about and had briefly in, I'm a late bloomer physically, and that is a huge wall for me because it's hard for me to be fully, you know, I can't get to my full potential until I, you know, I'm growing.
Yeah.
So, it's been something we've talked about. There's a chance I end up going to Europe at some point because I can't develop here. Because I'm past the drafts for major junior.
And yeah, that's another problem with like juniors. Like, I mean, obviously there's tier three, which you can go at any time. But for the top tier juniors, if you don't make that first cut, you're kind of like kind of screwed. To be honest with
you. Exactly. You're not.
Which is bad. I mean, it's not fair because some people don't have that chance to get to that point, and then you get the kids that did get there, and then they fall off. Like, then you're like, what the heck? Like, it's not fair.
Well, and there's, you know, parents aren't going to want to hear this, but, like, kids are getting scouted by colleges now at, like, 14.
Oh, yeah.
And
people, you know, act like it's not true. It is.
And I look at, like, other goalies my age.
Mm-hmm.
They look like men. Mm-hmm. I look like I'm a freshman in high school, maybe. Which
that's
you know,
on a good day.
At least I can make fun of myself for it. But there are these goalies that are my age, you know, 16, almost 17, or 17, 04s. They're 6'4", 200 pounds, and that's a man.
Yeah, I mean,
that's not a 16-year-old kid. That's
I know, that's a grown
man.
And I'm proud of myself for just being 5'8", 135 on a good day. Like, and that's when it's on a good day. I mean,
yeah, and that's what you need to be, kind of. And those are the kids who are lucky enough because they developed early that, you know, a college can sign them and commit them. And, you know, that's not most people.
No, it's not.
But I'm not trying to shut the door.
No, yeah. But wait, let me get to something on that. So one of my teammates this year, Mickey McKinley, hopefully he watches this. Shout out to you. You know what's up. He's 5'4", like, I don't know how much he weighs. He might be the same weight as me, but he's 5'4".
Mm-hmm.
But he makes it a point where, yeah, I'm 5'4", but I'm still going to lay out the tallest kid on the team. And this kid hits. Like, he's a grinder, and he's good. He puts up points, and he gets rewarded for it. So, I mean, there's a chance where we're not saying, like, it's the end of the world if you don't have the genes or whatever. But You're just – it helps you more, I guess you could say, right? If you have the abilities like all these kids, like they're 6'2" and they can play a 100-mile-an-hour slap shot at 14, but it doesn't mean it's the end of the world. That's kind of what I wanted to point out there.
Here is awesome proof of that. Playing D1 hockey for Arizona State University, Sean Doogie from Aurora, Illinois, mm-hmm. So Illinois native. 5'3", 150 pounds.
I know about him.
A lot of guys lie about their height, but if you're probably...
I mean, if you're putting 5'3", there's no way you're lying.
If you're 5'10 and under and probably 6'4 and up, it's probably real. But anywhere in that range, you're asking for a few inches. If you're 5'10", you're asking for 5'11", 6'. So for him to be saying 5'3", that's probably pretty real.
Mm-hmm.
Also on ASU's roster, Jordan Sandu, probably butchered that, 5'7", 155.
Yeah, like they wouldn't be lying about something.
And these guys
like that.
Are D1, another guy on here, 5'8". And these guys are playing. They're not, you know, on the bench. They're starters.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know their goaltending situation, but they got a goaltender in here, Justin Robbins, 5'9", 158.
Yeah, that's something. Especially for a goalie, that's impressive.
Yeah, and the other goalies listed here are... you know, 6'3", 6'.
Exactly.
And even 6' is considered undersized in some cases. And there's a chance he's 5'10 or 5'11".
Yes.
Guys ask for those inches. But that's, you know, not trying to shut the door. There's a path for everyone.
Yeah, there's always, a chance and where was I going with this?
Opportunity.
Yeah. Like, it's not going to stop you, but it's a reason for coaches to be like, nah, we don't want you. You're not good enough.
It's you got to put in that extra effort because guys will simply just overlook you because you're just short.
Yeah.
And it sucks, but it's, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, UC Saros is the short goalie in the NHL right now, and he's playing pretty well.
Yeah, he is. That's true.
A lot of the, you know, 6' and under is, I guess, short now, but... they're some of the better goalies in the league. I mean, not to say that the tall guys are not. You know, we talked about Vasilevskiy earlier. He's probably 6'3", 6'4".
Mm-hmm.
Philip Grubauer and Marc-Andre Fleury, two guys in the West, they are doing extremely well, and they are not...
especially Fleury.
Yeah, they are not gigantic guys by any means. I mean, they're tall, but... you can do it. There's a path for everyone. You just kind of, you know... opportunities aren't going to happen overnight. You got to work for them, but at the same time, there's, you know, your chance will come, and you just got to be ready for it because, you know, you're not going to get too many, and you got to make them count.
Yeah, that's something I also want to add on to that is you will, you know, as much as you may be thinking, like, man, I don't think I'm ever going to get a chance, like, man, this isn't looking good for me, you will always, there's always going to be something for you. Like, you just don't give up. It's a big thing you got to keep in mind, like, especially, I mean, I guess I can prove that, right? I mean, I got cut, like, how many times for AAA?
And
finally I got my chance. I was like, let's do it. And you know, I a lot of people tell me, they're like, dude, why'd you move out there? Like, you shouldn't have done that. Like, it's a waste of time. Now you're coming back. Like, why would you, who, why would you waste your time doing that? Like, I mean,
What if it turned into something?
I mean, like,
And it did, pretty
it,
much.
I reached the goal I wanted to get to, and I wanted to play the highest I could potentially do it, and I did. Like, I would always tell my coach, I was like, coach, I want to play the highest I possibly can. I want to play the highest I possibly can. I did it. Like, and I'm proud of that. Like, I mean, as much as I'm like, I played with top prospects. I don't need to name names. Like, everybody knows who the top prospects are at my age. So, and I played with them. And yeah, I'm not them, but I'm proud that I got to compete with these kids. I was good enough to compete with these kids, and I was good enough to prove that I am good enough. And that's what I'm proud of the most. Like, I can take that to my grave and be like, yeah, I really proved myself, and I worked hard to get where I am. So.
And just to kind of, finish off, give you guys that last, I guess, bit of hope. Nathan Gerby on the Columbus Blue Jackets, he's 33 years old. 5'4", 176,
There you go.
with, let's see, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 NHL seasons.
There you that see exactly. I mean, there's always hope. I mean, even though people give you the excuse like, oh, you're not this, oh, you're not that, you can do it. Like, we'll get into this in more in another episode, I feel like, but with the whole like politics and that kind of aspect. But there's always potential. You can do it. Don't give up on yourself there. Like, just keep grinding, just keep working,
Absolutely.
and you always will get that opportunity. Guess we could wrap it up here. I mean, this was a great conversation, especially for the first episode.
So we'll just kind of, cap it off.
I feel like we could just say like one thing we want to send off to our listeners for the week,
Yeah,
right?
so just kind of finishing up with a little bit of what's going on. Couple player the players of March for the NHL is always exciting, and
Oh yeah.
the rookie of the month, Alex Nedeljkovic, a goalie. 6-1-1, 1.85 goals against average, 0.934 save percentage, and
It's not
one
bad.
shutout for a rookie.
It's pretty solid. I give kudos for that.
And he's a guy who's taking a little time, he's gotten a bunch of chances, not done so great, and now
Yeah.
he's really taking advantage of his opportunity.
That's why I believe you always gotta take your time. Don't always rush into it. Take time to develop. It's huge. It's
Absolutely.
huge.
Then the Central Division player of the month, Sasha Barkov, 16 points in 11 games. He's
Not
hurt right
surprised.
now.
Yeah,
Hopefully he
oh
can
yeah,
get
that's
back
right.
healthy soon. Then from the West, Philip Grubauer, another goalie, and as an Avalanche fan, I'm drooling
He's
over
yucky,
this.
yeah.
12-2-1 in the month of March, 1.56 goals against average in 15 games, 0.933 save percentage, and three shutouts in 1 month.
He's been playing. Let's just say light to put it lightly, he has been playing.
He's been absolutely dialed. Then from the North Division, McDavid, of course, that's probably not a
He
surprise to
owns it. He
anyone.
owns it.
He owns that
He
division.
owns
I'm sorry,
the
Auston
division.
Matthews, my fellow American, but even you are not on the same playing field,
Yeah,
so.
I mean, Matthews is gross, but you can't. Yeah, it's
23
Matthew. I mean, it's
points in
McDavid.
14 games. I mean, he's almost 2 points a game there. Although, surprisingly, only 7 goals. I think he's a bit more of a playmaker than people really think.
He is definitely.
And then lastly, from the East, not lastly, I mean, this guy has been the best player in the world for the past 10 years. Sidney
Right.
Crosby,
My
15 games
idol.
played, 21 points, 7 goals as well. So he's not slowing down.
Exactly. It's Crosby. Yeah.
Yeah, and then one last kind of fun bit of info. Tonight, here on April Fool's Day, Ryan Strome extends the NHL's current active point streak to 11 games. He's got 2 goals and 14 assists, so 16 points. And his assist streak of 9 games, so hopefully he can keep that up. And who knows, maybe by next Friday, he'll still have one going, and that'll be an impressive record.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you gotta say? I think we
No.
covered a good bit of stuff here.
Yeah, that was a great conversation, playing experience.
It's It's always fun talking about that.
Yeah, it's quite the topic to get into.
It really is.
Really open yourself up.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening to the first episode of Friday Night Hockey.
Hockey, yeah.
And we'll
hopefully
see
we
you
can
next.
Continue this.
Yeah, see you guys
good.
Next time.